So I guess I should ask, for those that Don is speaking on behalf of, could you raise your hand so I... So apparently there's at least one other. I wanted to know those that that you were speaking for when you said you're not looking for a short sermon.
I'm looking for it, yeah.
Okay. Well, no promises. I've got myself into a lot of trouble when I've...
Amen.
Mentioned I'm going to do a shorter message, and then that seems to, I don't know, I just lose track of time, I guess, whenever I say that. So we won't make any promises. It might be, I'll just say that.
Just turn the light out when you leave.
Right. Yes, and I already told Dale if he falls asleep today, I'm just going to assume it's because my voice is comforting. But I'm ready for a nap myself. So. But we're going to continue today. I know, you know, on a potluck Sunday, a lot of times we get started a little late, and so I need to get better at not preparing so much material on those days. And so, you know, going through the world system, there's so much to cover. There's so many different angles, and I thought, well, this is a good Sunday to just do a little bit of review and put some things together. Last week, we went back into Genesis 4, and we see some of the building blocks of the world system. And so... You know, some of those things that are mentioned there, they're not evil, but it's the system. It's the system that is diabolical. It's the system that's evil. And so I want to just try and put some of that together today. And so let's open with a word of prayer and we'll begin. Father, thank you for the day. We're thankful for those that are here. We're thankful for the opportunity to be in your word, to be together, for the privilege that we have to share with one another and to be arranged under your word. And we would pray your spirit would continue to guide and direct as we continue. In Christ's name, amen. And so talking about the world system. In the Greek, the word, by the way, that you'll see in the Greek is cosmos. And we've talked about that many times, but the Greek word itself has the idea of something that's well arranged. And so when we talk about the world, and it's the world system, it's something that's been well arranged. It's been organized. And so we know Satan is the ruler of it. And so when we're talking about the world system, we're talking about the things that make up civilization, if you will, the organization of civilization. Satan's the ruler of it. You might not know that just from your English translation, because he's referred to as the prince of the world. But the word prince, it's a Greek word, archon, that means ruler or commander. And so let's just go back and be reminded of some of these things. Let's go back into the Gospel of John, and let's go back to John 14 and... Verse 30 is our verse, but let me back up just a little bit. And so this is the upper room, of course. In John 14, verse 28, we have the Lord speaking. He says, "You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh." And so there we see a reference to the prince of the world. And it's actually, so you can think of this, the word prince, though, has the idea of the ruler, the commander of the world. He cometh and has nothing in me. He says, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. And so here he's speaking of Judas Iscariot at this time, as he says this, but remember, Satan had entered Judas. And so we can see that if you just turn back to chapter 13 and verse 27. In verse 26, Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it." And when he had dipped the sop, and he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, and after the sop entered into him, then Jesus said unto him, "That thou doest, doest quickly." And so Satan, having entered Judas, goes and betrays the Lord, and now he's leading a group to come and take him captive. And so so we can see that it's being used of Satan. He's the prince or the ruler of the world, of the organized system, if you will. He's the commander of it. Let's see again in John chapter 16. And still, the Lord here looking forward. Verse 7, you can see that, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, that it is expedient for you that I go away." The idea of expedient here is the idea of profitable. It says, "For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come," talking about the Holy Spirit, "he will reprove," the idea of convict, "the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." And so he's talking here, the prince, it's the same word, archon, the ruler, the commander of the world, the organized system. He's judged. And so Satan is a judged foe, but he's not yet defeated. But we see him, he's referred to as the ruler. And so he's the ruler of it. Now, I also want to point out that demons have a role in how the system is ruled. And so we're just going to illustrate this from Ephesians in chapter 6. And this is, of course, in the section dealing with putting on the full armor of God to defend against the lust from Satan. But in Ephesians 6 and verse 16, we have a statement. And so let's take a look. And so here Paul says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world." And so the translation doesn't help us. It's actually, the word rulers is a Greek compound word that is cosmos, compounded with the verb krateo, which means to have dominion or to have might. And so these are ones who have dominion in the world. These are, and so some translations actually translate it world rulers. And so against world rulers of the darkness of this age. And so there's a textual issue there of the idea of this present evil age. And so here we see in a reference to demons. And they're referred to, though, as ones with dominion in the world. They have some might. And so they're part, or they have a role in how this system is ruled. And so that's how, you know, it's a complex system. It is arranged and it's organized in a certain fashion. And so Satan is the ruler of it, and demons have a role in how it's ruled. And so we'll leave that. That word that's a combination there, it's a hapax, the cosmo, crator, just world rulers or ones with world dominion. And so the world system, it's Satan's tool for controlling and manipulating unsaved humanity, if you will. And so let's just go back, and I've been to this verse a number of times, and so I haven't been here recently, so let's go back to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 18 and 19. So here John says, "For we know whosoever," just everyone who is born out from God, "sinneth not, does not habitually sin. But he that is begotten of God keeps himself, and that wicked one," the malignant evil one, talking about Satan, "touches him not." And so that's one thing is you want all Christians to know is a Christian cannot even be touched by the malignant evil one. You never have to worry about being indwelt by Satan. That's impossible. And he goes on in verse 19, "And we know," and the word "know" here is Dale's word. It's Dale's word because he owns this word now. But oida, this is the word he's been pivoting off of for a while in Sunday school. And it has the idea of factual knowledge. And so we stand factually knowing, as the idea is, we factually know that we, talking about Christians, are of God. And the "of God" is the ek preposition. We are out from God as to source. That's where we find our source as Christians. It's not out from ourselves. It's not out from the world system. But it's out from God. And so we factually know this, that we are out from God. And the whole world, and so the entirety of it, the world, the system, and the unsaved that make up the system, lies in not in wickedness. And King James is the only one that does this, I think. Most of your translations change it. lies in the malignant evil one, or the wicked one, but it's the malignant evil one. See, Satan, he's corrupted his wisdom. He's a corrupt individual, and he's not satisfied to be corrupt by himself. And so he wants to spread corruption. And so he's referred to as the malignant evil one. But the whole world, it lies within his sphere of authority, and it's being laid down by him, and it's his baby, it's his tool, and it's for controlling and manipulating humans. And it's made up primarily of unsaved people. One thing we know is that, though, as Christians, is we can potentially misdirect our agape love as we're filled by the Spirit, and we have the potential to direct God's quality of love and to fulfill the new commandment. We can misdirect that love at the world system. And so you see that in 1 John 2:15, of course, and we spent a number of time messages pivoting off of this verse, where John says, "Stop loving the world," in 1 John 2:15. You know, it's a corrupt system. It's a diabolical system. And so stop loving the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love concerning the Father is not in him. And so, when a believer fulfills the new commandment and loves the brethren, that love is also being directed at the Son and being directed at the Father. But if a believer misdirects that agape love, here you can see that he's not loving the Father. He can't be loving both at the same time. And so he explains in verse 16, he says, "For all that is in the world," and you have the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the vain glory or the empty pride, I'll translate it that way, concerning physical life, it's not out from the Father as to source. All of these things that are in the world system, that are part of Satan's system, his organization, if you will, it's not out from the Father. The Father is not the source of it. But rather, it's out from the world. It's out from the world system, which Satan is the one who's laying it down and rocking it to sleep. It's his baby. It's his it's his pride and joy, if you will. Remember, Satan wants to show what he's capable of. And so we'll make some connections to that. Now, I'm here in 1 John. I want to just go over to 1 John in chapter 4. And in the context, John is talking about false prophets, you see, in 4:1. Now, remember, during the transition, we did have the spiritual gift of prophecy. And so one of the things is to keep in mind is Satan likes to mimic God. Now, today, we no longer have the spiritual gift of prophecy active. We don't have the spiritual gift of apostle active. But we do have teachers, right? And so today we do have false teachers. But in this context, he's talking about false prophets. Let me just skip down to verse 4. And so in 1 John 4:4, he says, all of you believers, are out from the God. Seems like he says that a couple times in this epistle. Okay. He says, little children, just little born ones, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are out from the world. In verse 5. And he says, therefore speak they out from the world. So they find their source out from the world system for what they speak, and the world hears them. And so the world of unbelievers, they hear and they respond. He says, we are out from God. And so he that experientially knows God, he hears us. And so John's talking about himself and other apostles as well. And he says, he that is not out from God doesn't hear us. By this experientially know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. But you can see here is the world system becomes a system that Satan can use to spread corruption, to spread false teaching, if you will. And that shouldn't be a surprise. It's his system. He's the ruler of it. Demons have a part in the ruling of it. Remember also, if we can think of the transition, is there were apostles, of course, during the transition. You also had false apostles. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And let's look at verse 13 and 14. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves. Which is interesting because it's a middle voice. Transforming themselves. See, there's something involved with the passive voice for Christians. We're being transformed. But these false apostles were transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel. No marvel. You know, don't wonder. Don't be amazed. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And so Satan, he transforms himself. Another middle voice here. Transforms himself into an angel of light. And so, and remember, Satan's not an angel. Right? He's a cherubim. He's a cherub. But he transforms himself, and you see the false apostles, they were transforming themselves also into a quality of apostles of Christ. They were false apostles. And so it's interesting when we think about the age that we're currently in, the present evil age. Over in Ephesians 2:2, it's referred to as the age of this world. The age of this world. And you can see that it exercises influence. As Paul is talking to these believers and he's looking back prior to their salvation, to their New Testament salvation, we can see some things here in how they went about the details of their life. Because in Ephesians 2:2, let's go there. Let me read Ephesians 2:1. He says, "In you has he quickened in the ellipsis made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the age of this world." And so you, in time past, formerly, you walked, an eris, you walked at a point of time according to, or measured by, is the idea, the age of this world. And so the world takes a special place in the stage of this age where God is contrasting what he's doing through his children into what Satan is doing with his. And so here we see also the walking that was formerly measured by the age of this world was also measured by the authority or the prince, which is our word ruler, by the way, measured by the ruler of the authority of the air. And so that tells us a little bit something about Satan, is he still maintains authority of, if you will, the atmosphere here, the first heaven. He still maintains some relative authority. And so these believers, he's looking at, they ordered their lives according to the age of this world and according to the ruler of the authority of the air, the spirit. And so Satan is a spirit being. The spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. Not children, but the mature sons. It's interesting, Satan has his mature sons. I'll make a couple comments here. The spirit that is now working or energizing. And so he uses a present active participle. Just the spirit that is presently operating or energizing. in the sons, the mature sons. Remember the word, it's children isn't the right translation. This is looking at a position of privilege. And Satan has his sons, those that are in a position of privilege, of disobedience. And so you see how that fits in with Satan's program. Sons would be those that are doing his will, that they're mature sons. And they serve Satan. And so anyway, we see this reference to the world system, and the age is, it's the age of the world. The age of the world. And so Satan, his system plays a prominent role. Now, we've been looking at the foundation of the world system, and we know that it began from the blood of Abel. So we know that from the New Testament. We can see that in Luke chapter 11. And so let's go back to chapter Luke 11. Just want to point out a couple things here. And so in verse 50, that the blood of all of the prophets which was shed, or just poured out, the idea of shed, from the foundation of the world. And so here the idea is the blood of all of the prophets was shed from a quality of the of a foundation, from a quality of the of a world system. And so it's what I'm saying is these are anarchists in the Greek. Now, I believe the reason that it's recorded that way is that the first world system, Satan's first world system, was destroyed by flood. If we go back into Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, that's physical salvation in time, by the which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is measured by faith. And so he condemned the world there. And so the first world system was destroyed by the flood. Satan had to wait a little while after the flood before he could put together another organized system, or something that was well arranged for the manipulating and controlling of unsaved humanity. But when we go back into Genesis 4 and we see some of these things connected to his first world system. So back in Genesis 4, of course, we saw that Cain sacrificed Abel, right? And God sentenced Cain to be a roaming one, or a wandering one, and to be continuously, if you will. It's an imperfect. Let's go ahead and take a look back in Genesis for a couple things. We'll draw a few conclusions here. And so in Genesis chapter 4, and I'm not going to go back through all of this, of course, but in Genesis 4 and verse 12, we see Jehovah speaking to Cain, and he says, when you tilleth, just work or cultivate the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto you her strength. And then in the King James, it reads, a fugitive and a vagabond. The idea, and we went through these words, but the idea of a roamer and a restless wandering one. You shall continuously be in the earth. And so that was God's sentence, if you will, to Cain. Now, when you think about this, Cain was going to have to live a life of trusting God, taking God at his word for security. He was going to have to live continuously as a wandering one. And so, if we understand some of the things that Dave is laying out here, is he would have to be continuously seeking God for benefits. Well, is that what Cain chose to do? No, it's not. And so when we put some of these things together, Satan apparently was involved in devising an alternative. An alternative for Cain from being dependent upon God. And so hence we have a foundation of the first world system that's going to be laid. And this becomes a mean through which man, or in this case Cain, could seek blessings in time. And he could seek blessings in time rather than seeking God out and taking God at his word. He had an alternative of seeking health, wealth, and security independent from God. So I say security because he went and he proceeded to sit down in the land of Nod, of wandering, and then he proceeded to be building a city. And so rather than continuously being a roaming and wandering one, rather than seeking God for benefits and taking God at his word when it came to security, he decided to seek health, wealth, and security independent from God. That's the malignant evil part. Satan developed a system that would provide for man the opportunity for benefits independent from God. And so really, when you think about the world system, it wants to compartmentize your potential relationship with God. And so as we mentioned, and you can see that in Genesis chapter 16, chapter 4, verse 16, he proceeded to sit down and to dwell in the land of Nod, the land of wandering. It was an act of disobedience. And then Cain proceeded to be building a city. You see that in Genesis 4, 17. Instead of roaming and being a wandering one, he settled down and he built a city. And so it's through Cain and his descendants that we see in Scripture in this chapter the building blocks of civilization, and that's what we looked at last week. So we see the building blocks of civilization and Satan's world system that were laid down through these people. And so we have, as we mentioned, human government, industry, entertainment, secular education, commerce, senseless warfare, or you could say just senseless violence. And then I have also added human wisdom. Human wisdom. The world system has its own wisdom, and I think Lamech illustrated that well when he made his own decree based upon his own understanding and logic. And so one of the things when we consider the system and what makes it particularly malignant, other than Satan is the one who's laying it down, but it's not a system which promotes, or it's not a system that encourages all things to the glory of God. It was never designed for that right from the beginning. Satan, it was created by Satan in a way to offer a man a way to control the sin nature and to seek benefits independent from God. And so it's the system itself, right from the first world system, and we're assuming that some of these things from the first world system have been carried over as Satan is continually developing and evolving his world system. But it, we can certainly say, is it does not encourage one to be doing all things to the glory of God. Now, as Christians, we know that's what our aim should be. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Paul says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Just keep in mind that the world system is designed to give you options to not do that. As a matter of fact, if we turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, let's pick up in verse 18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this, and this should be age here, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he takes the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, and that they are vain. And the word vain here, the Greek word behind vain, has the idea of useless. Therefore, let no man boast in men, for all things are yours. And so, one of the things the wisdom of the world emphasizes, the ability of man, the ability of the individual. And so you can... the world system will show you how you can do it, and how you can do it in your own strength, and you can boast in your own abilities. And that would be independent from God. And so it shouldn't be a surprise when we consider this system. And if Satan devised it, it shouldn't surprise us that the system that he's devised and he's laid down promotes independence from God, and it promotes self-advancement through one's own efforts. Because remember Satan's five I wills. Remember his five I wills. See, Satan wants to be a self-made guy. He said in Isaiah chapter 14, I will ascend into the heavens. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of meeting in the uttermost part of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. There in the idea of the clouds of God's glory. I will make myself like the Most High. We went over that months and months ago when we were looking at Isaiah 14 and those five I wills. But Satan wants to show what he's capable of doing. He has a pretty high opinion of his abilities and what he's capable of doing. Satan wants others to see things the way he sees things. And apparently, Satan sees God's ways as oppressive. I mean, it's basically what he's saying is, God's holding me back. Use some of that same type of thinking when he approached Eve, by the way, in the garden. And kind of the inference is, God holds the individual back. Now remember, though, Satan, he corrupted his wisdom. He corrupted his wisdom for the sake of his splendor. And so you can see that in Ezekiel. And so his wisdom has been completely corrupted. And but the world system is a system that gives individuals opportunities to seek benefits independent from God and to do things in their own strength. So you see some of these foundational things, even from that first world system, that I think that are important to know when you think of this as the system. Because some of the things, you know, commerce, industry, entertainments, there's nothing necessarily inherently wrong with those things. But the system is malignant in itself, in that it encourages you to do things independent of your relationship with the Creator. From the Creator. And so the believer is not out from the world. We don't find our origins as believers from the world system. We can see some of this in the Gospel of John. And so let's go back to John 17 and just pick up a few things here. And the Lord is communicating to the Father here. And let me just pick up in verse 13. And so, here, in, I'll just pick up in verse 13. But now I come to thee, just literally facing you. And so he's speaking to the Father. The Lord is here. And these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves, in a state of being fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world hated them because they were not out from the world as the source. And so, even as I am not out from the world. In verse 15, we see a reference to his equality with the Father. He says, not I pray, but I just ask as an equal. It's a Greek word to ask as an equal. I request as an equal. Not that you should take them out of the world, but thou should keep them from the evil one. And so it's just out from the malignant evil one. They are not out from the world. And so when I read it that way, out from, you probably know me by now, but I'm just retranslating the ek preposition as out from rather than translating it of, because it's an important distinction. And so they are talking about the disciples here, and he's going to expand it, but they are not out from the world, even as I am not out from the world. Verse 17, he says, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. And thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, or just on behalf of them, I sanctify myself, that they might also be sanctified, or in a state of being sanctified, by, not the truth, but here, truth, by truth. And then he says in verse 20, now he's going to expand it out. And so the King James translates it, pray. But it's our word for to request or ask as an equal. And so it says, remember, he's speaking to the Father. And so this is the Son, the second person of the Godhead, speaking as an equal with the Father. And he says, neither ask I for these alone. And so up to this point, he's had the disciples in mind in his communication. But he says, but for them also which shall believe, and I'm going to translate it into me, because it's an ice, shall believe into me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. Now, we could go on here, but he states several times that the believer is not out from the world, even as he is not out from the world. And he talks about being one there in them. And so it's interesting, though, you see the world hated them because they were not out from it. And the world potentially hates us because we're not out from it. And they are particularly going to have a detesting of us when we manifest that we are the born ones of God. How do we do that? Well, one of the ways we do that is by loving one another, fulfilling the new commandment, even as he loved. Speaking of the Lord. And so we can be a witness in the world. We're not out from it. And God doesn't want to reform the world, this world system. This is the system that we're in. It's Satan's tool. It's his creation. We can function in it. We can use it. But we're not out from it. And we're not to use it to its full. It's only as a means to an end. And so let me just bring you, as I finish up just with this statement, because I do see the time, and we'll save this for later, but let's just turn over to John 18:36, and we have this comment, and this is in this context of Pilate questioning the Lord, and I'm just going to zero in on verse 36 here. Because there are those, and I had some friends who unfortunately thought that as Christians we should be trying to change the world system, and that if we evangelize enough of the world that we would actually usher in the kingdom. That's a form of reforming it. And that teaching would come from what's called, referred to as Reformed theology. But let me just let hear the scripture speak in John 18:36. Well, let me back up. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall, verse 33, again, and called Jesus and said unto him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, saying, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it of thee, of me? And Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thy own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not out from this world. So his kingdom is not out from as the source, this world. If my kingdom were out from this world as the source, then would my servants fight. The idea of struggled. That I should not be delivered unto the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from here. And we could go on in this context, but I just wanted to illustrate that the Lord, at the second coming, he's going to destroy this present world system. And his kingdom is not going to be a formed, it's not going to be a form of a reformed a world system. And so that's, it's just something to be reminded of, because we can see a lot of things in the world that we can be enamored with. We can see, you know, some of these things might be okay. Some of these things we might think are good, but it's important to recognize that the basic premise of the system itself is malignant. It's all based up upon people seeking benefits independent from God. It's not related to all things being to the glory of God. And so that's the premise of the system itself, and something that we need to keep in mind. And we'll be moving forward, and we'll be touching more and more of coming back to and being reminded of our position and our relationship to it, because that becomes really important. And so I'm going to close here, and we'll pick up on some of this next week. Father, thank you for the day. We're grateful for the opportunities. We're grateful for those that are here and that we could spend time together. And we thank you for the time we've had in your word. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.